Good morning, friends of the White Way. I trust you've been well and enjoying the many blessings of life that surround us. By the way, you might want to know and acknowledge that the sponsors for today's broadcast are John and Laura Moriyama. It is important for all of us to know that there are angels who have been contributing to our successful program. I am really indebted to John and Laura. Today, I'd like to share some basic thoughts that I've learned in my rather prolonged life I've been privileged to have. First, I've repeated often former Bishop Shojitsu Ohara's poem about the mountain. I believe that poem is the essence of religiosity and the foundation of a meaningful life. You know that one important goal as taught by the Buddha and the subsequent teachers is to see reality as it is and not deceive ourselves with simple wishful thinking or solutions in magic. Now back to Bishop Ohara's poem. For those of you who have not heard the poem before, let me mention that it was in 1960 thereabouts when Bishop Ohara came to replace Bishop Morikawa. It seemed at that time the selection of the bishop was a little freer, and it was Bishop Morikawa who named Bishop Ohara to be the next bishop. So Bishop Ohara came in 1960, thereabouts, and as part of his PR, he went around visiting different people. So in that project, he came to Manoa to visit my dad, who was staying there, and coming into the house, he went to the front window and looking across the valley, he quietly wrote a poem. And well, he was, I suppose, impressed with the beauty of the place, but the poem had to say something about the other side of the valley. So he wrote in Japanese, of course, Hima no toki ni wa ware wa yama o miru, isogashi toki ni wa yama ga ware o miru, which is a very simple poem. For those of you who have heard this before, let me mention again that did promise that every chance I have, I would read this poem, because it was so basic and essential to us. Literally, the poem translates into, when I have time, hima no toki ni wa, I look at the mountain, ware wa yama o miru. When I am busy, isogashii toki ni wa, the mountain looks at me. Yama ga ware wo miru. But I suppose the real meaning of it has to have a little bit more interpretation. And so I understood that poem to read more or less like, only when I have time, I look at the mountain. And this is so because I'm a human being and very selfish, so it's at my convenience. Only when I have time, I look at the mountain. And then the second part is, but the mountain is always looking at me. The words, of course, are, when I am busy, the mountain looks at me. Isogashii toki ni wa yama ga ware o miru. I understand this to mean that even when I am busy, when I'm unaware of that mountain is always there looking at me. And so the real meaning of this poem is not as simple. It's not only when I am busy, but it's always the other side, the mountain, that is always looking at me. And I think this is very important for us to know. And the scholars have two terms that describe the elements present in this poem. And I mention this now to give it a little bit more clarity. Those two terms are the necessary being, and the second term is contingent being. And these are words that scholars of religion have used, meaning that that mountain is a necessary being. The other, the Amida Buddha, the compassionate one, the holy other, or the other power, these are terms that you are familiar with. But that's the necessary being. And we who are viewing the mountain are contingent beings. And contingent means not necessary, or we are unpredictable. We are human beings, so to speak. So these two terms, I think, may be used here when we think of the mountain as being necessary. It refers to the ultimate reality, so to speak. And we are recognizing ourselves as human beings, very imperfect beings. So the situation depicted in the poem indicates very clearly our human imperfection and the Buddha's perfection. And this is what we have to understand. Another concept that I would affirm is that of the affirmative life, one of savoring our experiences, saying yes to our experiences. The Japanese word for savoring is ajiwau, but it is not savoring only of the positive or on what is pleasant. It is savoring all experiences, even the sad and the painful. It is embracing and deeply feeling the love or the hurt, whichever it may be that befalls us. Perhaps it is a natural reaction to try to run away from the negative, but staying and dealing with the problem is the better way, I feel. Face the problem, and in that process, the negative may be transformed into the positive. There's a story of a person learning of her terminal illness and transforming that knowledge into the positive by accepting the reality that she has only a few days to enjoy her life. But she's able to live fully those few days because she affirms that this is the situation. Another thought that comes to me at this time is something that was left by former Bishop Tom Nakanishi. But he once confirmed that he lives because he is enabled to live. And the Japanese term he used was watashi wa ikasarete ikite iru. I live because I am enabled to live. And I think this is a very important attitude, that as human beings, we are dependent. And so we return to the beginning, and I suggest that we select a mountain or a hill, and each time we look at it, we say, yes, I am very grateful for that other to be present there looking at me constantly. And I am very grateful. Namo Amida Butsu. Now, these are thoughts that have come to me, and I share them with you. today. Thank you very much. Namo Amida Butsu.